It's almost 10 years since Opera Australia gave us a full-scale production of a brand new work, so there's been quite a buzz around the opera's latest show, Whiteley, an operatic telling of the life of the flamboyant and troubled Australian artist Brett Whiteley and his wife Wendy. The show features huge projections of Whiteley's paintings with gloriously inventive music by the composer Elena Katz-Chernin, and let's listen to some. Yes, that's just from the introduction. You know we're in for something momentous. Elena Katz-Chernin joins us right now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Michael.
I love the way that's pumping along. We know that when the curtain rises and the lights come up, something of great moments is going to unfold before us.
I really wanted something self-assured, something brash and something intoxicated, just something to put, you know, people in a good mood.
So the libretto dares to take in the sweep of Whiteley's life from his boyhood to his death. It's by Justin Fleming. Justin is a playwright, he's a screenwriter. You know him best for his very witty and smart translations of Molière, but he's performed all over the world. He's somewhere in faraway places enjoying a production of his play right now. He's in London at the moment. Hello, Justin.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm in top form, thanks. Justin, how did this come about, this production?
Well, from my point of view, Lyndon Terracini took me to lunch at the Sydney Cafe above Customs House.
Lyndon Terracini runs the opera.
He does. And this is 3 years ago. I didn't know what it was about. And he said to me over lunch, just look out at that harbour and what artist comes to mind? Fortunately, I didn't say Ken Doane. But I said Brett Whiteley. He said, correct answer.
Right.
You know, will you write the libretto? I said, oh, of course.
Right. So you got the gig.
I got the gig. And then we started a few workshops to road test things. A lot was rewritten. So it was a case of eventually finding what to leave out and what to leave in.
So was it always going to be the life? Because, you know, you could have said, let's find a moment of drama and emotion in the centre of his life and build an opera out of that. But instead you've gone from his boyhood through to his death. It's a
Oh, well, sort of. But there are leaps along the way. And also he goes deeply into his mind in a lot of scenes. So that really it's a kind of, there's an essence of Brett Whiteley as well as what happened in his life. But of course, one of the criteria for this work was that the art itself would be part of the story. And the art inescapably tells his life also because of the locations, the people, the events depicted. So it was inescapable really to use his life, or moments in his life, I would call it, which I thought dramatised the truth about him.
And Elena Katz-Chernin, how did you get drawn into this? Did you also get a splendid lunch from Lyndon Terracini?
Can you believe it? It's exactly how it happened. We were having lunch and I just said, oh, I would really love to write an opera one day. I've never written one for main stage. And I would love it to be about Australian story of some sort, about Australian person. And he just said, in the next second, he said, oh, Brett Whiteley. It just came out of him. And it just happened. He must have thought about it before, I think, because that was later than 3 years ago. And it just kind of all fitted in. It suddenly was happening. And I couldn't believe how quickly the ball started rolling.
Well, let's hear a little more. This is one of the moments when Whiteley is living in Italy. This is in the early 60s, so we're quite early in the opera. And he sees that Australia isn't represented at the Venice Biennale.
Australia is not represented here. There is nothing for my country. Robert Hughes is the name. I am Grace, your native Grace. Plain art is a hymn for the indifference of the universe. Plain for the indifference of the universe. This is a disgrace. We are absent from the truth. We have nothing in despair.
We must educate him. We must educate him there singing. This is Robert Menzies who needs to be educated. So that's Lee Melrose as Brett Whiteley, Alexander Hargraves as Robert Hughes. And you heard Whiteley at the start of that sequence say that he's at the Venice Biennale and we are not represented, he says. We are not represented. He's so angry that Australia isn't spoken for. There was also Ruth Strutt there as the Biennale judge. And we should say that this is a recording made for us. While the show was in rehearsal, it sounds pretty damn good in rehearsal. Your music is like a dynamo right through this play. It's pumpy, it's playful, sometimes it's dark, sometimes it's lyrical, but always driving, surging forward in that way. What was your musical starting point? How did you think your way into this?
Interestingly, the first scene that actually was composed in the very first workshop was the one about John Christie's murders, which impressed upon Brett Whiteley that story so much that he made so many paintings about it, a whole series of them. And that scene with ghosts and just very dramatic narration just came to me as the very starting point. And from then, everything started falling into place. I really wanted music that represents Brett's character, his obsessiveness and its energy and his flamboyancy, his fun, sense of zaniness, a sense of questioning. So there's a lot of also mysterious music, especially when Wendy comes into play. There is this sort of mystery, delicateness, love. We have a duet between them and it's full of love and lyricism and also playfulness, exactly that. There is a lot of changing of moods. And I also get, actually, to be honest, I get very quickly bored. So I need to change moods all the time as well. So I was lucky that the scenes were changing quickly and I had, for example, the scene of chorus being critics, and I created a tango for them. So that was fun for me to do something that's in instantly recognizable kind of rhythm.
So there is a kind of there's a kind of extreme that you've laid out. On the one hand, there's the gentleness that's represented by his relationship with Wendy, his wife, who's a form of stability. And then at the other end, there is this idea that to be an artist, you have to go into the darkness. And as you were saying, Elena, one of the major set pieces in the show is this story about Christie, the murderer. He becomes obsessed with the idea of this man who had murdered these women and then, I suppose, bricked them up in the walls and so on. Can we just talk a little bit about that dark side, because it's one of the themes that really pulses right through the libretto and the music. I mean, Whiteley is drawn to the grave of the poet Baudelaire, who famously almost debased himself in order to expose himself to what he regarded as artistic energy. Justin, do you want to take this as a theme? What's it about, this idea that the artist has to pick the flowers of evil, as Baudelaire put it?
Well, yes, he said you have to derange the senses. And of course, what Brett Whiteley did was to wait patiently for nature to reveal to him some great glimpse. And then he had to pounce on it. And in order to do that, he said he had to distort it. So you find the image and then you distort it. One of the wonderful ones is the head of John Christie, the murderer, that he fixed in his view, put onto the canvas, and then distorted it. And it's so frightening. It looks like a respectable doctor, but with a twisted, dangerous soul inside that figure. But the important thing about going into that dark side was that he said to Wendy, I want to locate evil. I want to be able to put my finger on something and say that is pure evil.
There's quite an audience for the idea that you can only create art out of angst and despair and of going to the dark places. Is that true for you both as artists? What about you, Alana? Because it always seems to me that your music has a kind of underlying pulse of joy.
Well, I always consider myself a little bit of a kind of a comedy writer. Comic opera is actually the right fit for me. But at the same time, even comedy would have darkness in it so that it works. You can't just laugh all the time. You have to kind of have this mix of feelings and contradictions and contrasts. And the word I had mostly in this whole opera was to be bold. You know, be bold. If you go funny, go really funny. If it's really dark, go really dark, as as black as it can be, as gloomy and, you know, really empty sometimes of anything, void, you know, going into deep darkness. And so, and then when it's light, it's really funny sometimes, you know, yeah. And I really love funny.
You've certainly got that range. I suppose I'm asking you as an artist to reflect on your own practice and to see whether in your soul there is this idea that it's only when you open your soul to angst that you can be profound.
Absolutely possible. Mm. But both, you know, the angst definitely draws a lot out of me. And then I get really tired of that and I need some other side. I need lightness as well. So both. Actually, just something vivid inspires me.
Can you write out of joy, Justin, as well as out of darkness?
Oh, absolutely.
I knew the answer.
I find it joyous even to be writing the dark side.
Right.
But we have a lot of humour in this work as well. One of the stories that many people remember is when a policeman charged him with driving under the influence. And where had he been? He said, I've been drinking in the universe. The policeman assumed it was a pub called the universe. But when he when he took it on appeal, he said to the judge, no. What I meant was I was inhaling the cosmos. And the judge said, absolutely, appeal upheld. An artist thinks differently from a policeman.
That's right. Let's hear a bit more of this lovely production. One of his most ambitious pieces was a piece he painted in America called The American Dream. It's enormous. It's 18 adjoining panels, 2.5 metres high, 22 metres wide. It just goes on and on and on. It's like the hoarding on the side of a building site that he's come along and painted and screwed things into and put little lights in it's painted collages onto. So he tried to sell it after he'd made it in America, but it didn't find favour with the US art dealers. And you capture that moment in the opera. Let's listen.
Behold the
having a frank exchange of views with the art dealer Frank Lloyd of the Marlborough Gallery. This is from the opera Whiteley. Frank there, performed by Brad Cooper and Brett by Lee Melrose. Composed by Elena Katz-Chernin with libretto by Justin Fleming. And you're meeting both of them here on the stage show. Elena, I could really feel that urban sound of New York pulsing away there behind the singing. And I thought I could sense some influence of, I don't know, Bernstein or Gershwin there. Are you drawing on them when you create
Not at all. Interesting. Some people said that, but actually I was trying to create this sort of clankiness of the city that has traffic. And that's the noise, because in the whole opera, there's a lot of tonality, there's edginess, there's atmospheres, there's different textures of sounds, but there needed to be for New York, I felt, something that's percussive and noisy. And especially when he says American dream, the word, I wanted to be exactly opposite of what the word dream is. So to make it as noisy and as kind of, I'm not saying unpleasant, but a little bit threatening and aggressive and not having much melody at all. That's why I'm not sure Bernstein and Gershwin if it fits, because they did have a lot of melody and that's actually none in, but there is rhythm. You're right. There's maybe a little bit of this kind of syncopation rhythm that may remind you of that.
Well, thanks to the two of you for coming in and talking about it. It's such an exciting piece to listen to, and I haven't seen it on stage because I'm not in the right city to see that, but it's certainly been wonderful to have it in my ears. Thank you, Elena.
Thank you very much, Michael.
And thank you, Justin Fleming.
Thank you, Michael, very much indeed.
We've been talking about the opera Whiteley. You can see it at the Sydney Opera House until the 30th of July. It's presented by Opera Australia. On RN, this is The Stage Show with Michael Cathcart.